here we are in February, which is often known as the month of love because of Valentine's Day. And last Sunday, I invited you to have a goal in the Super Goal Bowl of life. Your super goal was to make yourself a Valentine. Make yourself be the Valentine by maybe getting yourself some chocolate, some flowers, a massage, a pedicure, writing yourself a love letter from the divine, and maybe back to spirit. Anyone do such? Okay, there's some hands. Great. So if you did or didn't, here's what I'm going to say is that why not make every day Valentine's Day, right? I mean, why make it just one day? So to make the, Whitney Houston song, the greatest love of all is learning to love yourself, because your love for yourself is what outpictures for others, and you can only love others as much as you love yourself. So we're going to go from the Whitney Houston song, what was it, the greatest love of all, and then we're going to Tina Turner. I should have some legs now, right? What's love got to do with it? What's love got to do with it? Just a second-hand emotion. And we could sing it, but I don't think we rehearsed enough, so we'll pass. So here's the thing. That question, what's love got to do with it? I think it begs for definition. Two areas of definition. What is love and what is it? What's love got to do? What's the it? So we're going to look at love, and there are infinite definitions, descriptions, expressions, and experiences of love. So I'm going to start with some definitions by, first of all, an 8-year-old named Rebecca. What is love? What does love mean? Rebecca says, when my grandmother got arthritis, she couldn't bend down and paint her toenails anymore. So my grandfather does it for her all the time, even when his hands got arthritis too. Carl, age 5, says, love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on shaving cologne and they go out and they smell each other. Terry, age 4, says, love is what makes you smile when you are tired. Listen to this one. This is by a 7-year-old Bobby. Love is what's in the room with you at Christmas if you stop opening presents and just listen. That kid's going to be a minister or something. I don't know. That's pretty deep. Well, I think Noel's got it. Love is when you tell a guy that you like his shirt and he wears it every day. Love is when your puppy licks your face even after you've left him alone all day long. When you love somebody, says Karen, age 7, when you love somebody, your eyelashes go up and down and little stars come out of you. Another question, why does love happen between two particular people? Well, Carlos, 8, he's, I think you're supposed to get shot with an arrow or something, but the rest isn't supposed to be so painful. Kenny, age 7, said to the question, is it better to be single or married? Kenny says, it gives me a headache to think about that stuff. I'm just a kid. I don't need that kind of trouble. And the last one I will share. The winner was a 4-year-old child whose next door neighbor was an elderly gentleman who had recently lost his wife. Upon seeing the man cry, the little boy went into the old gentleman's yard, climbed onto his lap, and just sat there. When his mother asked what he had said to his neighbor, the little boy said, Nothing. I just helped him cry. Pfft, now that could make me cry, right? So out of the mouth of babes, there you have it. Now we know what love is. Get your perfume and your cologne and go smell each other. They're perfect. Now I'm going to share a couple other definitions, and one of them is from the founder of the Science of Mind, the Centers for Spiritual Living Teachings. Ernest Holmes says, love is the central flame of the universe, nay, the very fire itself. It is written that God is love and that we are its expressed likeness, the image of eternal being. Love is the self-givingness through creation, the impartation of the divine through the human. The essence of love, while elusive, pervades everything, fires the heart, stimulates the emotion, renews the soul, and proclaims the spirit. Only love knows love, and love knows only love. Words cannot express its depth or meaning. A universal sense alone bears witness to the fact. God is love, and love is God. So, a more grown-up definition. There's two main branches of what we call New Thought, and one of them is Science of Mind, Centers for Spiritual Living, and the other is Unity. I think that Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, and Ernest Holmes are metaphysical brothers. So in the Revealing Word, that are the metaphysical terms written up by Charles Fillmore, he says, love is the pure essence of being that binds together the whole human family. Of all the attributes of God or the divine, love is the most beautiful. In divine mind, love is the power that joins and binds together in harmony the universe and everything in it. Divine love is impersonal. It loves for the sake of loving. It is not concerned with who or what it loves, and not with a return of love. Like the sun, its joy is in the shining forth of its nature. Love is that inner quality that sees good everywhere and in everyone. It insists that all is good. And by refusing to see anything but good, it causes that quality finally to appear uppermost in itself and on all things. Now, here's a different quote out of a different book by Charles. Did you know that God does not love anybody or anything? You might be like, what? Right? God does not love anybody or anything. God is the love in everybody and everything. God is love. Mankind becomes loving by permitting that which God is to find expression through us. God is love, and it expresses through us. We are the beings, the instruments of this love. And I love that. That we are, there's no love. What the world needs more than love's love, sweet love. I like to say what the world needs more is us to be the love. So before I go more into the subject of love, which is the main topic, what is the it? What's love got to do with it? What is it? Well, for me, it is life. It is my life. What's love got to do with my life? What's love got to do with your life and our lives? I'm going to go to this one. In 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 4, says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. The one in the middle really catches me. But if I do not have love, I am nothing. That's like super powerful. If you don't have love, what do you have? Nothing, according to this quote. And so I want to have that love. I want to be engaged in that love. And again, we're looking at what is love. I am going to recommend to all of you one of the very best books that I have ever had and have studied from. It's called Love Ability. It is Knowing How to Love and Be Loved. It is by Robert Holden, PhD. So, Love Ability. I think we even have a few in our bookstore, and you can also get those online at bookstore.org. So he has so much in here, but I'm going to share what his ideas of what love is not and what it is and is not. First, I'm going to go, what is love not? Love is not an act. It is not putting on a happy face, a positive face. It is being able to be who you are, as you are 100% of the time. It's not an act. It's not a performance. It's not I have to be this way in order to be loved. No, you get to be your authentic, real self. It's not an act. And if you're putting on an act, then that's not really love, because love is about that authenticity. It's about being who you really are. You can be honest. You don't put on an act or perform. You have total permission to be who you are. And it's not about approval. You know, if you can't be who you really are with another without their approval, that's not what love is. And when you love someone, you don't need them to change in order to love them more. Love honors our differences in individuality. So love is not an act. Number two, love is not a bargain. It's not about, well, we're in a relationship, and hey, I'm putting these efforts into this relationship, and you're putting your efforts into it. You know, it's the relationship bank. And so, you know, I'm giving more than you are. Come on, get with the program, right? No, it's about equals, and it's not about the roles. It's that we are completely equal. No one is higher than the other. No one is lower. It is not love about the giving and the receiving. Love, he says, is a way of being. It's a way of being, not about giving and receiving. It's not something you can get more or less of, because love is who you are. You can't give or have more or less. And I have gone through a period of being single back in the day, and I was like, well, I have love or I don't have love or a partner, right? And then Spirit just flipped it on me and said, instead of the have and have not world, no, I am the world's greatest lover. And I was like, really? And it was like, well, if I'm the world's greatest lover, then it doesn't matter if I have or don't have. But it was honoring that I am that love, and I don't have to have it or don't have it, because that's the polarities. But if you are love, then it doesn't matter, and you probably end up with some other person in your life. Now, in the past, or perhaps in your life right now, you might have a relationship where it seems that you are giving more than the other, or you would like something more from the other, right? Well, I learned something about this, and I was with somebody, their nickname was Flag, and I felt emotionally neglected. I felt I was giving more in this relationship. I was more invested than them. I had to learn that life and relationships, they are a mirror of what I'm doing to myself. I felt emotionally neglectful, and what the truth was, I was neglecting myself. I did not know how to be there for myself. In my family of origin, I was physically loved and taken care of. All my needs were met. But my mom wasn't emotionally able to be there for me in the way that I needed. So I kept attracting to myself people just like my mom who were not there for me. Until I learned that relationships are a mirror. He says, every relationship in your life is a reflection of the relationship you have with yourself. We mirror each other. This isn't just a metaphor. Mirroring happens because of the nature of reality. We mirror each other because of our essential oneness, our basic shared interest, which is to love and to be loved. Immanuel Kant says, we see things not as they are, we see things as we are. So, what you see in another isn't even about them, it's a part of me that has a need that maybe I'm not meeting. So I got to learn how to be loving and emotionally available for myself. Then I could attract someone who was also emotionally available to themselves and could be that in partnership with me. So love is not a bargain or an act. Love is also not about idolatry, where you're putting somebody on a pedestal, right? Love sees equals only. And that kind of goes back to the other one in the equal, but knowing our equality beyond roles, never put anyone down. You're always seeking to see the best in each other. Now, my example was back in the day where I was working for an organization called Warrior Sage, and we did these big mega 5-day events. And then there was the masters who sat up on the stage kind of directing the exercises. And then there was different people in different roles. Well, I had the role of silent monitor. Silent monitor meant we didn't talk. And while they were in session, we were in the hotel in the clean bathroom, cleaning the bathroom because we were helping to create this container. What I got in this experience was the master on the stage is no better than me in the cleaning of the restroom. We are equal. There isn't any betterness. And that was a good revelation to me. We're equals. Whatever role we're doing, I'm in the divine with the divine. So now we have not an act, not a bargain, not an adultery. Love is not about specialness. It is not about, well, I love you more than anybody else. I love you more than anybody else. I love you more than anybody else. That is not love, okay? Love is not exclusive. Love is inclusive. We love, and not to make it be about one person. I love you more than anyone else. That is not what love is. Love is not about special. You can't love someone more and then someone else less. This is not love. Love is not exclusive. You can't exclude people. I love you, but I don't love you. That's not what love is. God does not go, oh, I love you, but I don't love you, right? That is not, and we are expressions of the divine. So to love all beings. Now, truth, you also can have exclusive agreements, right? Monogamy with your partner, confidence in a friendship, a business partnership. So you can have exclusive agreements, but not to make somebody, I love you more than anybody in the whole world. No, you love all beings. Love is not exclusive. It's inclusive, and it's about being one. And the last one, what love is not, it is not selfish, okay? Romantic love can be confusing because there is things called lust, infatuation, and love. And his definitions of these are, lust is the physical desire. Infatuation is the mental desire, and you want something with this person or from this person. So the physical desires is because I want something with you, or from you. But love is spiritual desire. Love as spiritual desire is intent on knowing the whole person as they really are, beyond the mask and the image of what we think and see them to be. I love this line. It's not what I want from you. It's what I want for you. It's not what I want from you. It's what I want for you. So how do you know if you love someone or if someone loves you? You want that person to be happy. In his book, he has four different questions, because I don't know about you, but anybody judge anybody in here? Nah. We are domesticated, conditioned to judge people. And one of the things he says is not to be judgmental. It is still warm in here. I'm like warm. Anyway, so the idea is that, I don't know what the idea is. It's just too hot. I should take off some of this. Whatever. Next. So in his book, he talks about, he said he didn't want to make, he wanted not to change judgment. He wanted a different relationship with judgment. I'm not going to share with you those questions. That is something that you'll get the book and look at those. And what he does say is that, how do you know if you really want, you love someone? You don't stand in their way. He says, we would never stand in the way of another's happiness, even if it meant being apart, because most of all, we want the people we love to be who they truly are, to follow their hearts and to live the lives they are called to live. I can attest to that 100%. My past wife and I moved here at the end of 2021. She thought she was going to get a job as a minister in Albuquerque. It didn't happen. She needed to have a ministry of her own. That fell through. It was a tough thing for her to have that, and me too. And then she ended up getting a job 6 months later, halfway through our time here in California. Talk about an interesting place to be. I wanted her to be happy. I didn't want her to leave. I didn't want her to leave. Where's my person? At the same time, I want her to be happy. That was tough, but that was love. I needed to be, from my loving heart, I wanted her to be happy. So to bless her, to support her while I'm in grief was excruciating and not an easy path. But that's what love is. It's about not being selfish and wanting the other person's happiness. So now I've kind of segued into what love is. The four areas that he speaks about what love is. When you say, I love you, what you're saying is, I see you. I see you. And you're not just seeing the physical body or the personality. I'm seeing your soul. I see you. I see you. I see your soul. Beyond the emotions, beyond the actions, I see your soul. The soul in me beholds the soul in you. And some of you may know the term namaste, a Hindu greeting that new thought, we have changed it or put it into the words of, when the divine in me beholds the divine in you, we are one. So it is the soul that sees the soul of all beings. Even the people we don't like, that we disagree with, they're still a soul. Perhaps they have, the soul has a role. I just had to say that for your benefit. She's doing a, I won't get into that. But it's about, oh, so I want to share with you this story about seeing. This is about an elderly man, and it was 8:30 in the morning on a busy morning when an elderly gentleman came into the care place, the doctors, in order to have the stitches removed from his thumb. And he stated that he was in a hurry. This is 8:30. He wants to have this done quickly because he has an appointment at 9 o'clock. So the nurse said, okay, I'm going to take your vital signs. Please take a seat. And she knew that there was a backup and he wasn't going to get out for a while. So she kept seeing him check his watch. And then she decided to talk to the doctors to see if they could, if she could basically take the stitches out and redress the wound. And they began, and they said yes, and they had a conversation while she was taking the stitches out. And she asked, do you have another doctor's appointment, or what's that? Why are you in such a hurry? And he said, no. He needed to go to the nursing home to have breakfast with his wife. And so inquired about her health. He told me that she'd been in a nursing home for a while as she was a victim of Alzheimer's disease. I probed further and asked if she would be upset if he was slightly late. He replied, she no longer knew who he was and hadn't been able to recognize him for 5 years. I asked him in surprise, and you still go every morning even though she doesn't know who you are? He smiled as he patted my hand and said, she doesn't know me, but I still know who she is. I don't know about you, but I got gut bumps all over my body. I had to hold the tears back. I had goosebumps. This is the kind of love I want in my life. True love is neither physical nor romantic. It's being able to see and to accept and to love others. So to see, to say I love you means I see you. Number two, I love you means I accept you. I accept you just as you are. I don't judge you, condemn you, criticize you, attack you. And we're going back to the part about judgment. Whenever you're judging, and actually I think I got ahead of myself, but that's okay because you're not judging me at all, so that's all good. Here's the five questions he talks about the judgment so that you can reframe. However, when I do judgment, yes, your minister judges. We're human. We're conditioned. I have something different I do. I notice. First of all, you have to realize I'm judging that person's driving or I'm judging that person for whatever it is because we just do. It's an automatic. It's kind of in our culture to judge. As soon as I catch that, I go to the Ho'oponopono prayer, which is a simple, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you. I do that because it's like, oh, what am I doing? I'm judging. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I love you and thank you. You can do that. It's an easy prayer. Catch yourself. So I see you and I accept you. And the next one is I thank you. I thank you for being in a body and being in this life. I thank you for being who you are. I thank you for being a presence in this world. I thank you for being born. I love telling that in cards or when I say something to someone whose birthday. It's like, thank you for being born and sharing the gift of yourself with me in the world. Because you are a gift. You are a blessing. So when I say thank you or I say I love you, it means thank you. Thank you for being a part of my life. Thank you for your journey. Thank you for being, period, who you are. And last but not least, I love you means I am here for you. I am here for you. Thich Nhat Hanh says, to love is to be present. And it's in here somewhere. Where are you, Thich Nhat Hanh? He's wandering around. Here he is. To love is to be present. In his book, True Love, Thich Nhat Hanh writes, to love in the context of Buddhism is above all to be there. If you are not there, how can you love? He also says the most precious gift you can give to one you love is your true presence. Now, you can give and be present in different ways. You can be physically present. I'm going to take the time and we're going to go have lunch together. I can take the time physically to be with you. I can take the time mentally to be with you. And that means to basically listening and being present and speak, listening with ears of love and speaking from love. I want to be with you emotionally. That means I'm here with you in the present moment. I'm not thinking about the past. I'm not thinking about the future. I'm with you. I am present with you in that way. And finally, spiritually, I am with you in your journey. I support you unconditionally in your learning, in your growing. I am with you. I am present for you. What's love got to do with it? Everything. I'm going to finish with another part of Corinthians and your homework. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. What I'm going to invite you to do is take that passage, read it daily, but every time it says the word love, you put I am patient. I am kind. I do not envy. I do not boast. That is your assignment, if you care to deepen the love. And I love you. And so it is.